This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Kathy. How's it going? I'm good. Are you going stir crazy yet?
Beyond that I feel bad complaining about that, because that's not, I mean, we're healthy, we're fine. But yes, I'm definitely stir crazy.
I know. One thing I miss the most, I think, is just being volunteering face to face, you know, whether it's an in-person mm-hmm. board meeting or just showing up to, you know, chop onions or whatever. Have you found new and different ways to do volunteerism during this pandemic?
I really have not. I haven't, but you know, I do work with a number of nonprofit clients, and I sure do miss seeing them. I mean, we see each other on Zoom, right? But I miss being in their presence. I miss being on site. I miss all of that. And some of that's starting to open up a little bit, but I get what you're saying, but no, I haven't really had much of an opportunity to do any volunteering aside from just things in my neighborhood, like neighbors needing something or whatever, but not a real organized type of volunteerism.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've really enjoyed too during our tapings of this season are the ways that people are shifting, you know, with their mission and their volunteer opportunities for their volunteers or just their staff, like how they've shifted the work that their staff is doing. And Proact Indy, whom we will be talking with representatives from today, has done just that. And I just love what they do. It's a true social impact organization created by a social entrepreneur and run by a very seasoned expert. ProAct connects schools, corporations, and nonprofits to empower youth to better serve our community through what they call their proactive communities model. So here's how they do it. The students partner with a professional mentor who provides support, and the nonprofits offer the service opportunities and the volunteer training. So if you're an organization or a grassroots initiative that can offer a meaningful and educational volunteer opportunity, you could benefit from having volunteers at the ready while knowing that you just may be creating tomorrow's future leaders while working along corporate partner mentors. So today we have Darren Slack, the founder of Proact Indy, and Pitt Thompson, its CEO. And I'm really thrilled to talk to them about this. Now, just listen to these stats. 12,000 plus youth and more than 4,500 adults that they've involved. And why it is that they think they have managed to keep 83% of the youth involved. I mean, how's that for retention?
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty astounding. So all in all, Proact Indy is a catalyst for human-centered social good. And nothing is more obvious than that when you hear about how they've changed and added opportunities for growth over the years and how they've taken steps to adjust during a pandemic. So let's welcome Darren Slack and Pitt Thompson to today's episode of Taking Care in Business.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What an accurate and well done introduction. We really appreciate that.
Oh, gosh, no problem. I want to start, Darren, by asking you how it is, a little bit of background or your heart for social good. What was it that made you found Proact Indy?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, Proact was birthed out of a heart and a vision to see youth and their communities interact with each other differently. And as a kid, my own story, I was a very marginalized child. Came from a decent family, but internally, I struggled with very low self-esteem. and that stems from a disability I have. I have a stuttering problem, and I still struggle with it today. And when I was a kid, I physically could not talk sometimes. And that was until a few caring adults got me involved in sports, and I was a pretty good athlete and was afforded the opportunity to go to Wabash College. And playing football and running track there, I had a football coach that approached me to go on this mission trip to Botswana, Africa. And at first I told him no. I said, I am not going to no one's Africa to speak in front of people with a stuttering problem. And where I was in my walk of my faith, I didn't feel comfortable going. And I couldn't afford the trip. And so I made all these excuses. And then my coach comes back to me a couple weeks later and he says, Darren, all you have to do is pack your bags and get your passport because the trip's all paid for. And I'm glad that someone made it so that I could go on this trip because it completely changed my life. If I hadn't gone on this trip, I would not have known that the larger the group I speak in front of, I do not stutter at all. And so that sparked a passion inside me to seek out every opportunity I could to serve my community. And in my experience in going to Ethiopia, to Israel, to Ireland, just traveling all the world, serving other people, I realized it wasn't the act of service changing, it was the relationship. And so I said, what if I had this experience at a younger age? How would my life be different? And 10 years ago, that sparked the idea for ProAct. And so it started with 11 kids, just engaging them in meaningful service opportunities every single week. Now it's really evolved to be a community impact organization and serving over 10,000 people a year. And so really excited and proud of the growth and what we've been able to do over the past decade.
So that's such an amazing story, and I didn't hear that on our pre-interview, so that's really, really very interesting. How have things shifted, you guys, over the past, 90 days as people are now inward and we're not venturing out? How has that have impacted your programming?
Well, that's an interesting question. One of the things that we discovered was that there was a need that we felt we could, what we call, step in the gap. And so our work with the community organizations who previously would bring children and families into the facility, what we found with the COVID-19 crisis is that, these folks were now all sheltered in place at home. And so we were able to pivot. And one way, we had a 28-passenger van that we would transport kids and activities. It was converted to what we call a pop-up kitchen, and we were able to take donations of food and deliver them either to the facilities that were serving folks food. And in most cases, we developed a route in which we and our volunteers were delivering food physically to these folks' home, particularly those folks who did not have transportation to get out to food pantries or things that they needed. And, one of the things I was moved by is that we were able to not just deliver a bag of food, but take orders from what people needed, whether they were diapers or hand sanitizers or toilet paper and paper towels, in addition to food. So they got what they needed in cases exactly what they wanted. So that was the big pivot. And we were also able to help stay in touch with those families. That sort of helped as this crisis hopefully comes to an end. We will continue to have contact and know what the needs of those families are. Darren, does that pretty much?
Yeah, pretty accurate. Yeah, since March 19th, we've served over 40,000 meals and supplies to over 3,000 families in the city. And that's not done alone. That's done by leveraging about 17 of our nonprofit partners and a very diverse pool of volunteers that wanted to step in the gap and stand in the gap with us. And so these people standing with us are really helping support these vulnerable neighbors of ours that, yeah, that are adversely affected by COVID-19. And being a very innovative organization, I think it allows us and gives us room to be agile and to pivot quickly when things like this happen. And so with our use of technology and our connections and the understanding of our community, I think that product was built for this. We were built for things like this, to be able to support our community and stand in the gap for whatever our vulnerable communities need.
I think that's something that a lot of people have, organizations have needed to you know, consider. How can we step in and, as you call it, fill in the gap, step in the gap? And so congratulations for doing that. I wanted to ask you guys a little bit about two things. One, your youth empowerment camp that you do, whether or not you think that will be happening in July. And then I also want to talk about the new PROACT 101 or PROACT University that you're launching. I don't know if those things have been delayed because of COVID, but what's the pathway for those programs?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I appreciate you for asking. So our youth empowerment camp is something that we've been doing the past 2 years, and we are scheduled to still do it this summer. Our goal is to really help give these kids a positive outlet this summer, because there's not much out there for kids to do this summer because of the situation that we're in with the state of the world. But if we do need to postpone, we will. And our parents that are already signed up, they understand that. But we have made a commitment to always be there for our kids, to give them something and somewhere to go that will help them develop leadership skills and help them connect to their community. And so we are monitoring the situation and COVID-19 and all the guidelines from the CDC and our local government. We're monitoring those stipulations very closely. And so we have made a commitment not to cancel, because we have a no cancellation policy with PROACT. And to your earlier comment, Vicky, that's why we maintain that 83% or higher retention rate, is because we don't cancel, and kids always know that we're always there for them. So if we need to, the camp will be postponed, but otherwise it's full steam ahead. And for our PROACT 101 and PROACT University, and so we've touched so many people because we use technology very well and very efficiently to really train people and mobilize people to be the catalyst for human-centered social good. And so PROACT University is our learning management system, where we host all of our curriculum on that learning management system. And it's curriculum that's centered around different social issues like racism, sexism, poverty, homelessness, environmental justice, all these social issues that our youth and adults that work alongside them learn about, so that they can understand the context behind the communities and issues that they are addressing through service every week and every month. And so our PROACT 101 course, it's live, it's there to take, and PROACT 101 is a course that we created that allows people to understand the innovative and intricate model that is our proactive community. And it gives the history of PROACT, and it really gives people the understanding of why PROACT exists and why we're here. And so if people want to sign up, go for it and learn and unpack, especially in what we're dealing with right now with all the race relations talks. We have curriculum that addresses that, and we have trainers. I'm a trainer by trade, and I facilitate conversations around race and racism all the time. And so it's a resource for our community, and we intend to allow that resource to grow and always be there to help people understand people a lot better.
Yeah, that's so
great.
Good to know. There's so many people that are wanting to access resources that, can really start to facilitate conversations around racism. So I'm glad to know that that you guys have that as a resource. Have you seen more interest in that kind of programming through over the past month or so?
Absolutely.
Good.
It's really inspiring, actually, because a lot of people are leaning in to these types of conversations and being brave and courageous to unpack their feelings behind what they're starting to realize about themselves and about other people. And so it's really cool to talk to other CEOs who may be white, right? And they're just evaluating their companies and the way that they do business and who they do business with right now, too. And it's really inspiring and gives me hope for the future. And I'm just proud that PROACT is here as a resource for them, walk alongside them in this journey.
Yeah, no, great resources. I just finished reading a book that really helped, like, kind of shifted my thinking. You know, I think that there's a lot of sort of, how do I say what I'm trying to say? There's a lot of fear about saying the wrong thing, you know, and I certainly have got a little bit of that because I would say, well, I'm not racist,
right.
You know, and I don't believe I am, but I think that we all, you know, I'm a white person and, you know, I have white privilege and I was conditioned that way, you know, and that doesn't mean I am a racist, but the conditioning that I have definitely opens me up for needing to really be educated and to understand, you know, and to know how to go into these different communities that are dealing with different issues and feel comfortable being that I look different, you know? So I feel like these resources really help to unpack that, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I think a lot of people need to lean into that and be comfortable with the uncomfortable in this time. And so I think you're doing the right thing. You read all you can, learn all you can, and don't be afraid to ask those tough questions.
No, I think you hit it right on the head. I've spent most of my career in hospital administration, so I've had the opportunity to work in a very diverse environment, and I'm really proud of PROACT. We've been able to carry that forward with a very diverse board, whether that's comprised of entrepreneurs and corporate representatives and legal and financial and technology. So you've got diversity across the spectrum of our economy, and also diversity in terms of makeup, both of women and minorities and Caucasian on our board. So we've been really fortunate to have cross representation and are guided by folks who are out there on the front lines every day with running businesses, both on the corporate and nonprofit environment.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that you have programming for both youth and for adults, right? Because I think that is so, so important. I see such promise in so many things with our young people. And you know, I'm a mom and I have a 14-year-old son. And I think things have positively progressed, but I feel like maybe my generation or other generations, not quite where we need to be. So that's exciting. I'm glad to hear about that programming and certainly to make our listeners aware of that as well.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Can you give us an example of maybe, you know, one sort of program that you put together that brings together the student, the nonprofit, and, a corporation?
Yeah, so our motto, as you mentioned before, is called the Proactive Community Model. And the whole premise is that our youth cannot thrive in a supportive ecosystem of caring adults and a caring community if both youth and adults don't really understand each other. So our program that kind of connects everything together is called a Rising Star Leadership Program. And that is a program for young professionals at corporate organizations. If they want to invest in their employees and equip them to better serve their community, then they would sponsor a Rising Star within their company to be trained as a facilitator for PROACT's youth program. And so those Rising Stars, and we only need two Rising Stars per company to go to each cohort of our youth. And we have about 15 to 20 kids at each cohort for every school that we're in. And so it's two corporate employees to about 15 to 20 kids, and we train those corporate employees to be facilitators. And they train on those social issues through our curriculum every single month. And so every week they are training our youth about the context, about the social issues that they're learning about that month. And then once a month, they go out into the community and serve an organization that's addressing that issue. And those monthly service opportunities are opportunities to where not only those Rising Stars can serve with the kids and lead projects alongside them, but the Rising Star is also expected to invite other peers and colleagues within their company alongside the kids every single month. And so it's really a turnkey system for an outsourced solution for community engagement for corporate employees. But every month, our youth and the corporate employees are serving our nonprofit partners together to help address issues in a very human-centered way. And the company and the school and the nonprofit don't have to worry about anything because we do all the work on the back end to help plan those projects for them.
That's so great. How has it been received by the corporate community? Has it been hard for them to understand, or have you had a lot of success in being able to recruit those Rising Stars?
That's a fantastic question. It's been, up until now, it's been a challenge because this is such a new model that a lot of corporate employees or corporations don't really understand the depth of what we do and until they do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've always partnered with corporations for the last 5 years to plan service days for them. This is the reiteration of our model to go deeper and to have a value-based model that's
right.
A shared value for everyone involved. But now that people are starting to realize the change of culture that our model can do for their company and the community, it's an easier conversation now because they realize, oh, there's a gap here. We might be doing service the wrong way because we're not going deep enough. And we just don't know where to start, or we just don't know how, or we don't know where the need is. And so now they're starting to recognize, oh, if you partner with PROACT, they have a turnkey system and a program already in place that we can just plug into. And it not only benefits our employees, but it benefits the youth that our employees are engaging. And wow, it also benefits the community because we're serving nonprofits and exposing our employees to high need communities that we otherwise would not have known about if it wasn't for PROACT intervention. And so it's a lot easier conversation now because companies are starting to think a bit more creatively with how they empower and equip their staff for social good.
I would imagine, that there are other big cities throughout the country that are giving you, calls and asking you how you do this. I mean, it would be a great franchisable business, business model.
That is, you hit the nail right on the head. One of our sponsors who is located outside the state has made that exact request to say, is this a model that we can recreate, particularly in communities that are underserved. And it absolutely is a model that can be replicated. And so we have, we want to make sure that it is it's solid here in the Indianapolis area. And then, you know, we've talked to our board about taking that model outside of the greater Indianapolis area. And, right. You know, one example has certainly been, I've served as a CEO and nonprofit organizations. And one of the challenges with volunteers is that you're familiar with this. They do a day of service, and you know, you get one day or 2 days that employees engage. Sometimes it's like Habitat for Humanity, and other times it may be going into a nonprofit to do gardening or paint walls. And what I was really impressed with the PROACT model is that it gives those employees an opportunity to do a really in-depth service to the community that they're serving. So there was a greater value to the employee, and there was certainly a greater value to those that they were serving.
That is great. Yeah, I agree. You know, the day of service and all of that, that's so important, but it is a little bit like tip of the iceberg. So right. It's exciting to see that companies are embracing that more and embedding it more in their culture, and that you guys have the resources there to help them. To that point, Darren and Pitt, tell our listeners how they can learn more about PROACT and potentially connect with you.
Yeah, if you can go to our website at www.proactindy.org and follow us on social media as well. And on our website, you can sign up to register as a volunteer, or you can apply to be a corporate partner, a nonprofit partner, and go deep with us and help us stand in the gap for other people to help inspire youth and transform communities. So just plug in.
And we certainly appreciate the opportunity that you're assisting us in delivering that message.
Yes, our pleasure to have you guys. Thank you so much for the time today and for the important work you're doing.
No problem. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Let's give a big thank you to our sound engineer, Matt Sosi.
Woo-hoo!
And our Taking Care in Community sponsor, National Bank of Indianapolis. If you'd like to nominate someone or an organization for a future episode, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get our podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.